Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Pesachim Daf Nun Hey. We left off on the top of Daf Nun Hey. Amud Aleph. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. It's also sponsored anonymously and by a lifelong Talmud of Rabbi Kelmer, Li'ilu Nishmas, Rabbi Kelmer Zecher Tzadik Levrachas. That's a double, two separate sponsors. Also by the outdoor minyan in Woodmere, known as the Church Avenue Minyan, Li'ilu Nishmas. Now, unfortunately, it's Li'ilu Nishmas. Our friend, neighbor, and member, Yuri Sternfeld, Yehuda Aryeh Ben Chaim Tuvia Alevi, Alav HaShalom, and Luzchus Rufo Shleima. For our friend, neighbor, and member, Moshe Schwartz, Moshe Yitzchak Ben Tova Rosa, who's in the ICU fighting COVID, and Tefega Peril Bas Devo Rivka. It's also sponsored anonymously for Refuah Shlema for Necha Bas Leia, who's battling cancer, could use a Refuah. Yishav Refuah Shlema B'soch Shar Cholei Yisrael. We thank all of the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So we are holding on the top of Nun Hei Amud Aleph, and the first discussion that we're going to have is about the issue of Yuhara. When do we say that if something is a practice not to do, and you take on an extra Chumrah to do it, that it is Yuhara? When do we say it's not Yuhara? We had this discussion in Maseches Brachos, and we're going to have a problem because the Shittos that said something is Yuhara and Brachos say it's not Yuhara over here when it comes to Melacha and Erev Pesach and vice versa. So the Gemara is going to deal with that. Then the first Mishnah Amud Aleph and the Gemara that follows it discusses whether the issues of doing Melacha and Erev Pesach are those Minhag issues or are those Halacha issues. Is it an Isser when we talk about Melacha and Erev Pesach before Chatzos, or is it just a matter of Minhag like we've been assuming until this point? The second Mishnah Amud Aleph talks about a distinction between work that began before Erev Pesach, where you just need to complete the work, and work that began on Erev Pesach, and the Gemara is going to try to prove whether it makes a difference if the Malacha is being done Litzorech HaMoed or not. And then finally, the final Mishnah of the Daf talks about replacing a hen that's no longer on its eggs, or sweeping under animals' feet, and bringing things to a craftsman, both on Erev Pesach and on Chol HaMoed, and we're going to have comparisons. We're going to learn a lot of the halachos about what you can and cannot do on Erev Pesach based on what you can and cannot do on Chol HaMoed. We're going to have to maybe explore a little bit what exactly the connection is between Chol HaMoed and Erev Pesach. So let's begin. We're at the top of the page on Daf Nun Hei Amud Aleph. Uba kol malkom tamid chachamim. So we said, wherever you are, tamid chachamim, do not do malach on Tisha B'Av. But Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said, a person could always make himself a tamid chacham. No one has to worry about yuhara. Just be act like you're a tamid chacham and don't do malach on Tisha B'Av. So says Gemara, the Maimon, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Savar lo chashin liyuhara, Rabbanan Savar chashin liyuhara. Is that really how the Shittos play out? That Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is not worried about yuhara, and therefore he says everybody can make themselves a tamid chacham, and the Rabbanan say that we are chacham for Yuhara, v'yipcha shemin alu, but in Maseches Brachos we want the exact opposite. Ditnan chasan imir tzedikros kriyas shema b'layla rishon korei, that a chasan Tanakama says, even though chasan is part of from kriyas shema on layla rishon, if he wants to be machmir and he wants to do it, he can be korei. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel amar lo kala rotzo litol as Hashem yitol. Shimon Gamliel says, no, that's Yuhara. You can't just say that you're going to be a bal madrego who's going to be able to have kavana on kriyas shema. If you're pati, you're pati. You're not allowed to do it. So it's a stira between the two sources, between Malach and Tisha B'Av, where Mishum Gamliel is eager to tell everybody to act like a Talmud Chacham, and Kriyashma on the first night of a wedding, where Mishum Gamliel is telling us we're not allowed to take upon ourselves that mantle. So I'm Rabbi Yochanan Mukhlefes HaShita. Rabbi Yochanan says, you have to switch the Shitos. Rashi understands, we don't know exactly which one, but one of these is backwards. We're not sure whether it's over here, or whether it's in Maseches Brachos. Some of the Achronim think they have a Raya from the Rambam, that the Rambam did know which one, but some of the Achronim say that the Rambam switched that one, some of the Achronim say the Rambam switched this one, whatever it is, one of these has to be switched around. But another possible solution, Rav Shisha b'Rei Dravidi Amar Lo Tepuch, you don't have to switch around the Shitos, Rabbanan Ad Rabbanan Lo Kasha, it's not a stiru within the Rabbanan, Hacha Kibin Dukali Alma Avdi Malacha V'Iyu Lo Avid, over here, when it comes to doing Malacha on Tisha B'Av, if the whole world is doing Malacha, and this person is not doing Malacha, Mechzik Yuara, that's Yuara, Aval Hassan, but when it comes to Kriyashma, Kivin to Kuli al-Makari, he's the only Hassan. Everybody else is saying Kriyashma, Viyu Nami Kari, Lo Mechzik Kiyuara. Meaning, when you're doing, when your actual behavior is what everybody else is doing, even though you're not in the same circumstance as everybody else, but when your actual behavior is what everybody else is doing, that can't be Yuara. So everybody's saying Kriyashma. It's true, not everybody's a chassan, you're the only chassan, but still, that's not going to be yuara. The Rishungam Liel, the Rishungam Liel Lokasha, and it's not a stira, Rishungam Liel, chassan would be in a kavan, but not sadi delomati kavani daite. When it comes to Kriyashma, you have to have very intense kavana, and we know that a person's not going to have proper kavana, so mechsi ki yuara. Then it looks like gaiva to suggest that you're able to be so focused on Kriyashma when you have so much going on in your life. Aval hacha lo mechsi ki yuara, amri malach. Someone sees you not doing malacha, no one's going to say, oh, that person is such a tzaddik, such a talmid chacham. No, they're going to say, the Nebuchadnezzar person doesn't have any work to do. Look how many batlanim there are in the shuk anyway. So he's just another person that doesn't have any work to do. So that is the discussion mechsi ki yuara. Now, the Tiferes Yisrael points out that, you know, we said over here, we said rather in relation to Maseches Brachos that according to the Chachamim, im yirtzu likros kriyas shema b'layla rishon kore. We have a klal that the Yerushalmi tells us that we paskin shulchan aruch, the Ramah paskin in shulchan aruch, a klal of kalapatim in adavar v'oseyu nikra hedyot, that if a person is patur from something and does it anyway, so he's considered to be a hedyot. It's considered to be a silly thing to do when you're patur from a mitzvah and you go and you do it anyway. So what exactly is the geder of that? So that's a worthy discussion to have, but where it comes up in Shulchan Aruch, as the Rama says, that if a person is patur from sukkah because it's raining in the sukkah, and he goes and he sits in the sukkah anyway, so nikra hedyot. That's considered to be a hedyot, because what are you doing? You're not even getting the mitzvah if you're sitting in the sukkah when it's raining. So the question is, why isn't this patur min adavar v'oseyu nikra hedyot? That if a chassan is patur from kriyashma, why don't the Chacham say that he's nikra hedyot? So the Tiferes Yisrael suggests that's only. It's only nikra hedyot if some tzad kula will come out of it. But if there's not going to be any tzad kula, then you can be machmir as much as you want. Meaning it's the first rule of chumras. If a person wants to take upon himself some sort of chumra, you always have to look at the big picture and see, is my chumra, very often what it turns out is my chumra in Bein Adam L'makom turns out to be a kula in Bein Adam L'chavera, that my style get in the way of other people. But a person has to take the big picture. Is my chumra going to be a kula somewhere else? Oh, so if I'm going to say that I'm patur min adavar v'oseyu by sukkah, and I'm going to sit in the sukkah when it's raining, what's going to be with my oneg yontif? What's going to be with my simchas yontif? I'm going to be sitting in the rain in the sukkah, and it's going to be miserable the whole time. So that's where it's going to come out of kula. But what's the kula already? It's going to come out if the chassan decides to say kriya shema. So it's not going to be a problem. So therefore, we don't apply the principle of kala patur min adavar v'oseyu nikra hedyot. There's also machlokas rishonim over here as far as the chassan is concerned. Do we still say this? Is the chassan still patur from kriya shema bizman hazeh? Meaning, if the assumption was that Bismana Gemara, Bismana Mishnah, that a chassan was unable to focus, so I would imagine for sure we're unable to focus. So yeah, I would think for sure a chassan is patur from Kriyashma. However, Tosos writes in Maseches Brachos that even though we pass on from Shumam Liel, that lo kalarotza lital sashem yavo v'yital, that it would be considered yuara, and you're not even allowed to be machmir, but he says, since the reason for patur from Kriyashma is because a person's not able to have proper kavana, so Tosos says, it's not that we're able to have better kavana nowadays, but adrabba, it's that we never have proper kavana. So if a person doesn't say kriyashma, that's you are rabbi not saying kriyashma, because he's saying, oh, every other night, that's where I have proper kavana. You can't even discern the difference in the level of kavana between a chassan and anybody else, or between that night and any other night. So by suggesting that he's not going to say kriyashma on the night of his wedding, that's where it's going to be you are rabbi. The Rambam, however, in the fourth parak of Kriyashma says differently. He says, anyone who's patur milikros kriyashma im ratzal la'achmir latzul likros kore, he paskins that you can be machmir, v'ushtetei daito penuya alav, but if he's patur milikros mevuel, if his mind is preoccupied, then he's eino rashai likros ashet tisyashiv daito alav, but no reference to any difference bizman hazeh. So it would seem that the Rambam holds that a chassan is still patur from kriyashma on the first night. Okay, so that's the discussion about Yuhara. So now says the Gemara, now the Mishnah is going to go back to Erev Pesach. All of this talk, this whole time, we started the perek about Erev Pesach, about Makom Shenagu Lasos Melacha on Erev Pesach Ad Chatzos, and then we got into all these other minhagim. We started talking about Tisha B'Av and all these other things. So now we're going to get back into Erev Pesach. In fact, the Rishonim and Achronim are bothered why we took this detour over here. So the Rambam explains, the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayos likes to to explain the order of the Masechtas, like why each Masechta is where it is, the order of the Prakim, and even the order of the Mishnayos, like how everything, why everything fits exactly where it does. So the Rambam writes in the Pirush HaMishnayos that since at the beginning of the parak we spoke about the minhag of doing Melacha and Erev Pesach in a lashon of Makom Shenagu this, Makom Shenagu that, so therefore we mention all situations where things are talui on minhag HaMakom. So we don't bring the sheet of the Chacham until we finish the discussion of minhag HaMakom, because the sheet of the Chacham that we're about to have in our Mishnah, I mean, this is really a continuation of the first Mishnah, because now we're going to start talking about an Isser of Asiyas Melacha on Erev Pesach, but it sounds like it's about Isser and Heter, not about minhag. So we want to finish the discussion of minhag before we bring the Shita that holds that it's not about minhag, that holds that it might be about Halacha. So that's how the Rambam writes in the Pirush HaMishnah. So Chacham Omrim, so now the Mishnah says, the Chachamim, going back on that first Mishnah, the Chacham disagree and they say, Be Yehuda Yosem Melacha Bar Pesach Mal Chatzos, Begalila Yosem Kol Iker. That in Yehuda they would do Melacha until Chatzos and Erev Pesach. In Galil they would not do any Melacha on Erev Pesach, even before Chatzos. Halayla, now in Galil where they wouldn't do Melacha on Erev Pesach, what about the night before Erev Pesach? So Beishamei Omrim, Beishamei Osim rather, Beisil Matirin Adan Etzachaba. Beishamei says, even the night before is included in that Isser Melacha. So in Galil, they held it was Asr to do Melacha on Erev Pesach, and according to Beishamei, Erev Pesach includes the night before. Beisil says, no, in Galil, it's true, they didn't do Melacha on Erev Pesach, but Erev Pesach is only Netzachama, that from Netzachama and on the morning of Erev Pesach. So says Gemara Meikaratan Minhaga Ulbusov Tani Sura. The first mission, the parak back on Daf Nun, told us about Makom Shenagu Lasas Malacha. The parak that we're learning got its name from that. So it's all about Minhag Makom. And then Ulbusov. Now our Mishnah all of a sudden is talking about Lashon of Isser and Heter. Beishamei Osrim sounds like it's an Isser. So Rabbi Yochanan Lo Kasha HaRabbi Meir HaRabbi Yuda. Exactly right. It's a machlokas tanaim that Rav Meir holds that it's all tali in minhag. That was the first mishnah in the parak. Whereas our mishnah is a reflection of the shita of Rabbi Yehuda that holds that it's a machlokas in halacha between Yehuda and Galil, whether it's mutter or asr to do malacha. Titania, because we have, how do I know that that's a nekudas machlokas between the two mishnayos between Rav Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, whether it's a matter of minhag or a matter of halacha? Because we have a brisa that elaborates a bit further, where the brisa tells us. Amr Rabbi Yehuda B'Yehuda, you also Melacha Bar V'Psach Mar Chatzos, U'B'Galil, Ein Osen Kal Iker, Amr Lo Rabbi Meir, so Rabbi Meir says back to Rabbi Yehuda after he reports the difference between Yehuda and Galil, Maraya Yehuda V'Galil L'Kan! What does Yehuda and Galil have to do with anywhere else in the world? El Makam Shalaga Lassos Melacha Osen, Makam Shalanagu Shalal Lassos, Ein Osen! I mean, obviously, if they didn't do Melacha in Galil, it's because that was their minhag. If they did do Melacha in Yehuda, that was their minhag, says Rabbi Meir. I don't know Rabbi Yehuda, I don't know what you're talking about. Why you think Yehuda and Galil is worthy of mentioning? Every place has their own minhag. Just do whatever the minhag is. Ooh, midkam Rav Meir bin Haga mechal Rabbi Yehuda Yisura ka'amar. So what was Rabbi Yehuda thinking from the fact that Rav Meir says, nah, it's all about minhag? It must mean that Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with that very fundamental point. Rabbi Yehuda thinks it's not all about minhag, that it's all about halacha. So says Gemara B'Sav Rabbi Yehuda arba asar mutar ba'asiyas melacha. Does Rabbi Yehuda really hold that Erev Pesach is mutar ba'asiyas melacha? Tanya, we have another brisa that Rabbi Yehuda Omer Hamenakish b'shlosha asar. Let's say a person is pulling out the weeds from in between his grain on the 13th day of Nisan, v'nekra biyado, and he accidentally pulls out some grain as well. So he wants to replant that grain. Shosla b'makom atit. He should quickly replant it on the 13th day of Nisan in a muddy, moist ground where it will take root very quickly. Ve'in shosla b'makom agarid, but not in hard karka, where it's going to take longer to take root. Why does he need it to take root so quickly? Because the carbon omer is going to be matir, the tvua chadasha. But it's only matir, that which took root already, by the time the carbon omer is brought. The carbon omer is brought on the second day of Pesach. So here he is on the 30th day of Nisan. Whatever grain he replants now, is it going to become mutter for him in a couple of days, or does he have to wait another year till it becomes mutter for him? So if it takes root by the time the carbon omer is brought, so then he's going to be okay, it will become mutter for him when the carbon omer is brought on the second day of Pesach. But if it doesn't take root, he planted in hard ground and it doesn't take root, he's going to have to wait another year until it becomes mutter for him. But this whole setup is about the 13th day of Nisan. Sounds like if this happened on Erev Pesach, then forget about it. He has no chance. Even by replanting it, it wouldn't help. B'shlosh asar in, barba asar lo. So mechti shamina le Rabbi Yehuda damar kol harkava sheino koletas so sheyam shuvena koletas. The Rabbi Yehuda told it takes 3 days for something to take root. So vi sal kadaita harba asr mutar basias melacha. If you're allowed to do melacha on harba asr, so you're allowed to plant on erev Pesach. Why does he set up this case about the 13th day of Nisan? You can say the same thing about the 14th day of Nisan. As long as you hold, you're allowed to do malacha, you'll have your 3 days, the 14th, the 15th, and the 16th. And on the 16th, they bring the Korban Omer, so you'll have your 3 days, Mitzayom Kikulo. So we have Mitzayom Kikulo of the 14th, the whole 15th, and Mitzayom Kikulo of the 16th. So good, so now you have your 3 days that it will have time to take root. Elamai, it must be the Rabbi Yehuda holds that it's Asabas Yasmu. And that's why he sets up this whole case on the 13th day of Nisan. Samarava Begalil Shanu. Rabbi Yehuda holds that there are places that hold that there's an Isra of Asiyas Melacha. Maybe this, when Rabbi Yehuda sets up this case about the 13th day of Nisan, he's talking about in Galil, where they held that it was Asr Basiyas Melacha, but he himself holds, like the people in Yehuda, that it was Mutar Basiyas Melacha. Aye, but even in Galil, Vayika Lele, isn't there, couldn't they do it on the night of the 14th? And that would be Mutar. So Amrav Sheshas Kabeshama. No, according to Beis Shammai's understanding of the Yisur in Galil, Beis Shammai in our Mishnah said that the Yisur in Galil already starts the night before. So we couldn't even set up the case as the night before. The only way to set up the case, if you're talking about Galil, is on the 13th day of Nisan, because in Galil, the 14th day was Asr Basiyas Melacha. Rav Ashi Amar, a different answer. Liolam ki Beis Hillel. No, we're assuming like Beis Hillel. And therefore, the nighttime should have been okay, because even in Galil, you're allowed to do malacha at nighttime. Why don't we discuss that it's talking about nighttime? Because who's doing weeding at night? That's such an unusual circumstance. So Rabbi Yehuda would rather set up a case in a more common circumstance, like it's the 13th day of Nisan. But now the Gemara goes back to give a second answer on the kasha from the Braisa. Again, the kasha from the Braisa was that it sounds like Rabbi Yehuda holds that there's an Isser malacha on Erev Pesach. Why else would he set up a case where you're doing the weeding on the 13th day of Nisan and you replant it on the 13th day of Nisan? Just say it's the 14th day of Nisan and you're replanting then, and you still got your 3 days for it to take root. So the first answer was Rabbi Yehuda was talking only in the Galil. In the Galil there's an Isra of Asiyas Melacha. Now the Gemara says the second answer. Ravina Amar Liolam B'Yehuda. No, he's even talking about in Yehuda, where you're allowed to do Melacha on Erev Pesach. Aye, why doesn't he set up the case then that you're doing this on the 14th day of Nisan? Uba Ashrasha Chad Mechtas Yom Kekula Amrinan Trey Mechtas Kukulo lo amrinan. Because even though it takes 3 days for the plant to take root, you can't say mixiam kukulo on 2 out of those 3 days. You can't assume that it will have taken root, even if you replant it in very moist and fertile ground from on Erev Pesach. If it's already Erev Pesach started and the Korban Omer is brought on the 16th day of Nisan, you cannot say 2 mixasiam kukulos when it comes to that. L'chora, this whole thing is very difficult. Now, the Yehuda writes in a tshuva, in Madura Kama, in Evanezes and Mem, Mitzayim Kukulo, it should be a number of hours. No, shouldn't it be? How long does it take till it takes root? Mitzayim Kukulo could be 1 minute of one day, and then, the whole next day, or it could be 23 hours of one day, and then the whole next day. So Mitzayim Kukulo is any amount of the Mitzayim. So shouldn't this be tally in hours? Whether you say Trey Mitzayim, shouldn't it depend how big those Mitzayims are? So very, very difficult to understand. It's like learning Yerodeh. I was just telling my Talmidim yesterday, when you learn Yerodeh about Blios and what transfers, you need like a lot of Emunah to learn these, to just assume. So some of the Akronim suggest maybe the Mitzayom is about the Sof Hayom is the Goreim, and that's why, or the Tchilas Hayom is the Goreim. So if you can say Mitzayom, meaning that just like we have the idea of Eino Ben Yomo, so this is Machlokas Rishonim, so what does it mean? When does something become Eino Ben Yomo? Do we assume that it's 24 hours? That's the way we assume La Halacha. Or some of the Rishonim say, no, it's overnight. It's a Linas Laila that causes a Tam Lefgam. So it could be that there's some time during the day where the ground is more likely to allow the planting to take root, and it gets sped up at that time of the day. Maybe when the dew falls early in the morning, whatever it is, there's some time in the day where that maybe happens, and that's why we're more willing to say about Mitzas Hayom. Okay, new Mishnah. So says the Mishnah now, Remeir Omer, Kol Melacha Shiyischol Ba Kodem Arba Asar, Gomer Ba Arba Asar. If you began a Melacha before the the 14th day of Nisan, you're allowed to continue it or complete it on the 14th day of Nisan. Avalo yaskul ba'betchila barba asr. But you're not allowed to start a new malacha on Erev Pesach. Even though it's not such a major malacha, you'll be able to finish it before Chatzos. Don't start it on Erev Pesach. The assumption is, even in a place where the minig is not to do malacha on Erev Pesach, there are certain things we're going to see that you're allowed to do. So there's an exception. I mean, we're saying this is talking about those places where they don't do malacha, but if you started before, then you're allowed to. Then you can go ahead and do malacha. Another exception. There are three professions that are osin malacha barve pesach mar chatzos that could do malacha even on erev Pesach as long as it's before chatzos. Ve'elu hein hachayatin vasaparim vakovsin. The chayatin, the tailors, the saparim, the barbers, the haircutters, vakovsin, and the launderers, and they have the obvious benefit that they're doing things that people need for yantif itself. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda Omer af ratzanin, that the shoemakers also are allowed to work up until chatzos. So after Chatzos, for sure, all these people are not allowed to do malacha. What about getting a haircut after Chatzos? So the discussion in Poskim, are you allowed to go to a non-Jewish barber to get a haircut after Chatzos? We generally assume not, that you shouldn't do so, but that's a discussion in Poskim, whether one is allowed to get a haircut after Chatzos. Certainly from a Jewish barber, the whole discussion over here, the whole heter that we have for the Saparim, is only the halacha that we have for the saparim over here is only before chatzos, but if it's after chatzos, you're certainly not allowed to go to the Jewish barber. The Bach quotes from a Drashos Ma'ariel that even al yedei goy, you're not allowed to go after chatzos because you're mesayeh biyado. That when you get a haircut, you move your head and adjust, so you're helping out. It's ki'ilu you're participating in the malacha, and that's what the Magen Avraham paskins in Shulchan Aruch as well in Siman Tov Samach. But the Bach quotes from Marshall that you can be mistapra, that you can be mistapra the guy achar chatzos erev Pesach, because only bali umnu, the iser is on bali umnius who are going to get paid for it, but someone else to get a haircut would not be a problem. Like I said, we generally assume, like the Magen Avraham writes, that one should not get a haircut after chatzos and erev Pesach, always by mechiras chametz. In the morning, you see the rabbanim just run to the bar because no one had time to do anything. So it's like it's the last haircut till Lag BaOmer. So no one who's going to get a haircut a couple of weeks before Pesach. If you're a rabbi, you're dealing with so no one has time for that. But that's the one free moment that you have, right after Mechiras Chametz. So the barbershops are full of rabbis, and that 1 hour before Chatzos on Erev Pesach. So Yibayiluhu. So says Gemara, we have the Shaila. L'tzorach Hamoitnan, Aval Shlo Tzorach Hamoitnan, Afilu Migmer Nami Lo. Odilma shalol tzorach hamoitan. I mean, when Rameir says that you're allowed to finish a malacha on Erev Pesach, you just can't start one. Does that mean a malacha that's for tzorach hamoit? But if it's not for tzorach hamoit, you're not even allowed to finish a malacha. Odilma shalol tzorach hamoitan. Or maybe he's saying no, when it's not the tzorach hamoit, you're allowed to finish a malacha. Avalut tzorach. But the second comment of our Mishnah about things that are tzorach hamoit, then aschulim eschalina, and you could even begin a malacha. Odilma, or maybe bein tzorach. Or maybe that first halach of our Mishnah does not distinguish whether it's Tzorach HaMoed or not. That you're always allowed to finish a malacha, you're never allowed to begin a malacha. So Gemara is going to try three rayas. Tashma, raya number one. So you're not supposed to start a malacha on Erev Pesach. Afilu tziltzul katan. So we say, afilu, even if all you're making is a tiny little belt. Afilu svacha katana, or even a tiny hairnet for a woman. Umay afilu, what does afilu mean? Aren't we saying that even these things that are the Tzorach HaMoed, you're only allowed to finish them, you're not allowed to begin them, which makes it sound like things that are not Tzorach HaMoed, you're not even allowed to complete. So says Marlo, that's not a raya. Maybe these things that are the Tzorach HaMoed, you're allowed to complete, and also things that are not the Tzorach HaMoed, you're allowed to complete. What's what's the word afilu coming to tell me then? If the same is true for things that are not letzorech hamoed, so afilu haninami dezutri ninhu desal katay tchamini haskalasan zui gemar melachtan naskul bunami lechatchila kamash melan. No, the afilu is that even these tiny things that they could be done like this, they could be done so quickly, they could be done so easily. I would think you're even allowed to start them on Erev Yontif, because starting them is the same as finishing them, because they take so quick. So afilu these things, you're only allowed to be gomer, you're not allowed to be maskil. But still, there's no chiluk between those melachos that are l'tzorech hamoed and those melachos that are shelo l'tzorech hamoed. No chiluk necessarily between that which is l'tzorech hamoed and that which is shelo l'tzorech. Meaning we don't have a raya from here. So Tashma says, well, let's try to bring another raya from another brayser. Meir amakom lachshi l'tzorech hamoed gomra ba'arba asar. Any melacha that's l'tzorech hamoed, you're allowed to finish on erev Pesach. Emasai b'zman shi'iskul ba'kodem arba asar. That's only if you started before erev Pesach. Avlo iskul ba'kodem arba asar. Lo yaskul ba'arba asar. But you cannot begin a melach on erev Pesach. Afil tzul katan. Afil svach ktani. Even if it's one of these tiny little things. So now we have a clear diuk. Letzorech hamoed inch. Letzorech hamoed lo. Right? Rameir said that anything that's letzorech hamoed you could be gomer. So clearly by saying that only that which is letzorech hamoed you could be gomer implies that when it's shalol letzorech hamoed you're not even allowed to be gomer, you're not even allowed to complete. Says Gemara, nah, who didn't feel shalol tzarich nami gamrinan? Maybe even things that are shalol tzarich hamoed, you're also allowed to complete. V'haka mashmalan, why did Rav Meir dafka highlight tzarich hamoed? Tafil tzarich hamoed migamrin is chuli lo. His chiddush was that even though it's tzarich hamoed, you're still not allowed to start it. You're not allowed to start the melacha on these things, even though they're tzarich hamoed. But maybe in a chinami, to be gomer, it would be mutter bein tzarich bein shalol tzarich. So tashma, raya number three, another brisa. Rameir Omer, Kamalacha shi letzorech hamoed. Again, he says letzorech hamoed. Gomra barba asar. You've completed on Erev Pesach. She'ena letzorech hamoed. And now he says it the other way. And if it's not a tzorech hamoed, asar, then you're not allowed to complete it on Erev Pesach. So here it is. Like he said it straight out, that there's a chiluk between letzorech and shelo letzorech. Va'osu melacha barav pesach ma'chatzos ma'chem shenagu. And when they have a minig to be matir melacha, on Erev Pesach up until Chatzos, you could do Malacha, even if it's not Letzorech HaMoed, you'd be allowed to do it if that's the Minag. So from the fact that the Brisa is talking about a Gemar Malacha that's in a Letzorech HaMoed, and it says that it's Mutar on Erev Pesach in a Makom Shenagu in Lo Nagu Lo. So you see that you're allowed to be Gomer on Erev Pesach, even Shlo Letzorech HaMoed, but only in a Makom Shenagu. But if they don't do Malacha on Erev Pesach, then you're not allowed to, even though you didn't begin that Malacha on Erev Pesach, you began it earlier, you're only finishing it in Erev Pesach, it's still Aser. So you see clearly it's only Letzorech HaMoed that we have this heter to be Gomer Malacha. Shema Mina, Letzorech HaMoed in, Shlo Letzorech HaMoed lo. So that's how you see very clearly Shema Mina. So now we do have an answer that there's a difference between Tzorech HaMoed and Shlo Letzorech HaMoed, that one is allowed to be Gomer Malacha, but only then, only if it's Letzorech HaMoed. Shlo Letzorech HaMoed, one is not even allowed to be Gomer a Malacha that they began previously. Then we add V'chav Momrim, then there was a second halacha in our Mishnah, where he said shalosh umnius, that there are three bali umnius that are allowed to do malacha on Erev Pesach al Chatzos, the tailors and the barbers and the dry cleaners, and Rabbi Yosef Rebbe said even the shoemakers. Satana, Hachayatin shekein hed yotov for kedarko. So it's interesting. Instead of just saying, yeah, because all of these things are a major tzarek for people to get ready for Pesach, no. We try to find a precedent. Where are we makil for these particular malachos to be done? So we do find that on chol hamoed, a hed yot is allowed to be tov for kedarko. Someone who's not a professional tailor can sew things in the way that someone who doesn't know what he's doing, you know, who's not an expert, would sew things. So b'chol hashamoed, on chol hamoed. And even though you're not allowed to do malacha normally, and the Isra Malacha on Chol HaMoed is more chamur than the Isra Malacha on Erev Pesach. So if we're going to allow a hedyot to be tov for kedarko on Chol HaMoed, it must be that we'll allow a chayot that it's not really like a kal v'chomer, because it would be dayo levamnadin lios kanida. You can't extend beyond what it's teaching from. But we assume that whatever we're going to allow on Chol HaMoed, we can allow a little bit more on Erev Pesach. So if we allow a hedyot to sew on Chol HaMoed, so we allow a tailor even to sew on on Erev Pesach. Hasapar v'akovsin, and why sapar v'akovsin? Where do we find a heter for chalamoid for such melachos? Shekein abam medina siyam v'yotzim v'esasurin misapar v'mechapsin v'chalas chalamoid. If someone comes from medina siyam, or someone just got out of jail, he could take a haircut and launder his clothing on chalamoid, even though other people are not allowed to do it, because these people who are stuck, who were in jail, they couldn't do it on Erev Yantav. The reason you're not allowed to do these things on Chol HaMoed is because of a chashash that if you could do it on Chol HaMoed, you'll just wait till Chol HaMoed and you're not going to get prepared for Yantav properly. But these people couldn't do it. So Kal V'Chomer, since we have such kulas on Chol HaMoed, so therefore on Erev Pesach we could be even more matir for Saparim and Kofsin. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda Omer, Af HaRatzonin, that even the shoemakers are mutar b'melach on Erev Pesach, because that's also Kal V'Chomer from other malachas, shekein oli regalim, misaknim and alein, b'chol shemoid, because you have a heter for oli regalim, that oli regalim are allowed to fix their shoes on Chol HaMoed. So again, anything that you find any heter for anybody on Chol HaMoed, we can make a mutter for everybody on Erev Pesach, because Erev Pesach is not as chamur as Chol HaMoed. The Ritva just points out in explaining this Gemara that the Chol HaMoed comparison is a smach v'sad bialma. It's not really the basis for the heter. The basis for the heter is that you need these malachas for yamtiv, that you need to, that, but you know, the Chol HaMoed piece is just like an asmachta. So the Keren Ora just points out, I don't know, the Gemara says that the Chum hold that shoemakers are not allowed to do malach on Arba Asar because there's no heter to make new shoes on Chol HaMoed. If the real reason for the heter is just what do you need for yamtiv, so then why would the shoemaker issue be dependent on whether there's a heter on Chol HaMoed? I mean, it sounds like it's more than a smach visad. So the Keren Ora says you have to say that the Iker Tam is that it's based on Chol HaMoed, and anything that has no heter on Chol HaMoed, you're not allowed to do it on Erev Pesach, even if it is Litzarech Yom Tov. But it turns out even that which does have a heter on Chol HaMoed is meaning even that which you're allowed to do on Chol HaMoed, we're not going to automatically allow an Erev Yom Tov unless it's a Tzarech Yom Tov. So only that which is a Tzarech Yom Tov will we allow an Erev Yom Tov. So it's a combination of the two. You need both. It needs to be a Tzarech Yom Tov, says the Keren Ora, and it also needs to be something that's mutar on Chol HaMoed. So b'maikam ifli, what's the nukudas ha-machlokas about the shoemaker over here? So it says Gemara, mar savar lemeidin tchilas malacha misof malacha, that we could derive the heter for a shoemaker to make shoes from the fact that we allow people to repair their shoes on Chol HaMoed, the only regalim to repair their shoes. Mar savar lemeidin tchilas malacha misof malacha. Just because someone can repair their shoes doesn't mean someone else is allowed to make shoes. Those are two different things. Okay, new Mishnah now. Moshivin shovchin the tarnagolim. You could put eggs underneath the tarnagolas in order that it should warm it up and to be megadol afrochim. Barabas or even an erev Pesach. Tarnagolas shabarcha, and if a tarnagolas ran away from on top of its eggs, machzirin osalim kama. You could put it back on erev Pesach in order that it should continue so that the eggs should hatch properly. Ve'imesa moshivin acheres tachteha. And if your tarnagolas died, you could put another tarnagolas on top of the egg. Gorfin mitachas. You're allowed to sweep out from underneath the animal's feet on Arba Asar and Erev Pesach. You can't sweep it out entirely, but you can move all the stuff over to the side. You could bring Kalim to and from the Beis Uman who's fixing the Kalim, even though it's not really a Tzarech HaMoed. So we have three halachas over here. Number one, about the Tarnagolim on the eggs, that on Erev Pesach you're allowed to put the tarnagolim on the eggs or put them back on the eggs. Number two was about sweeping out tachas ragle behema, that you're allowed to sweep it out on Erev Pesach but on Chol HaMoed just to move it to the side. And number three was about bringing kalim in and out of stores or places that fix kalim for you. So says Gemara, going to halacha number one about putting a tarnagolas on an egg. So we said two things about that. We said that you can put a tarnagolas on an egg, and if tarnagolas ran away, you're allowed to put it back. Well, obviously, if you're allowed to put one there lechachila, you're allowed to put it back. What's the chiddush in telling me you're allowed to put it back? So, Rabbi, seifa asal lechol shalmoed. No, the putting it back, that's on Chol HaMoed. Meaning, Chol HaMoed, you're not allowed to be most of the tarnagolas meikara, but you are allowed to put it back. You can replace it. Amravuna loshanu ela tok shlosh lemerda. That's only this din of the Mishnah that you're allowed to put the tarnagolas back on Chol HaMoed. That's only if it's within 3 days of when it ran away. Dakati lo parach simra minei, because then the egg is still warm, so it would still benefit. It also has to be that the Tarnagolas has already sat on that egg for 3 days, because if the egg does not get to mature now, it's going to be lost, it's going to be gone, there's nothing you could do with it, meaning it's not going to be useful anymore because the process has already begun, so you can't use it as an egg. But if it's already been 3 days since the Tarnagolas ran away, where the whole warmth and development has already, it's been stunted, it's been stopped. Or if it's boreach within the first 3 days of when the Tarnagolas sat on the egg, where it's still just a regular egg, you can still use it as an egg. So lo madrina, then you wouldn't be able to be moxie the Tarnagolas because then you're not really saving yourself. Ravami Amar, afilu tok shlosha, that li yeshivasa, even if it was within the first 3 days when it started sitting on the egg and it goes away, it runs away, madrina, you're still allowed to bring it back to put it back on the egg. I can't you just use the egg the way it is? So b'maikamif, what are they arguing about? Mar saver lehefsim ruba chashu, lehefsim lo chashu. Mar saver lehefsim muat, nami chashu. Machlokas is whether we're choshish for hefsim muat, meaning this egg is usable if the Tarnagolas sat on it for 48 hours. The Tarnagolas was not on it for 3 days, right? It is usable, but it makes people uneasy. So will you be able to sell it? Yes, but not for the price that you would have been able to sell a regular fresh egg. So lehefsim ruba, we're choshish, but lehefsim muat, we're not going to be choshish. So it's only going to be hefsid muat because you'll still be able to sell it. Or maybe no, we're even choshish for a hefsid muat. We're even worried about a person's hefsid muat. So this is a very fascinating idea. Hefsid meruba, hefsid muat, meaning that if you'd have to throw out the egg entirely, you know, and there's nothing you could do with it, so that's hefsid meruba. That for sure we're going to be makel, so you don't have to lose an egg. One egg. By what definition is that hefsim ruba? How could that possibly be called hefsim ruba? So there's a fascinating piskei tshuva in Hilchos Treifos in Simul Amud Aleph where he discusses hefsim ruba. And there are three basic questions that he deals with. First of all, how much of a loss is hefsim ruba? A pretty fundamental question. And then what if it's not a hefsim ruba on one piece, but I have 100 of them? So are we done all of them together? Meaning I happen to have, you know, a lot of these hefsim meruba shailas. So do I put all of them together because it's all the same shaila? Or do I look at each unit? And number three, what if it's a hefsim meruba for the place that's producing it, but not for the consumer who's going to buy it? Meaning there are certain kulas that we have hefsim meruba, so the shachtos, it's, you know, something happened where we'd be making hefsim meruba and they got 1,000 chickens that they're not going to be able to sell if you're not going to be making. So it's hefsim meruba for them, but for the person that's shopping in the local supermarket, so he'll buy the next chicken over. He doesn't have to get from the shachtos. It's not going to be hefsim meruba for him not to have that chicken, or he'll eat something else that shops. Whatever, it's not going to be hefsim meruba for such a person. So Piskei Tshuva deals with all three of these issues. We're not going to have time to get into all three, but the case of the Piskei Tshuva is about nekivas hamoach, that there's a hole in the membrane of the brain. The brain has a double layer around it, so if the membranes are pierced, it's treif. But we don't check for that. That's not one of the treifos that we look for. But if only the krum hachitzon has a hole in it, if only the outer membrane around the brain has a hole in it, then it's a machlokas rishonim whether it's a treifa. And the Rama says, b'makom hefsim meruba, you can be makel. So of all places, the words hefsim meruba come up like on every page in Yerodeya. For some reason, Piskei Tshuva chose that place to have a whole arichus about hefsim meruba, which means like smicha students don't learn it anymore because no one learns hilchos treifos anymore. It used to be like that was the ikker thing you had to learn in smicha because a woman would bring a chicken, you had to know hilchos treifos. But now Hilchos Treifos is not in anyone's smicha program. I shouldn't say anyone, I'm sure it's in somebody's. But, you know, it's very few people learn Hilchos Treifos. So, but this Piskei Tshuva is so yesodistic in terms of how we define hefsim meruba. So on that first question, the Piskei Tshuva quotes a Nachla Shiva that says that if the hefsid is more than 1/6, which is a sus milavar, 20%, then it's a hefsim meruba. So it's a function of percentage of what you're dealing with. So if you only have one egg, and the shaila is about that one egg, that's hefsim meruba, because it's a hefsim of the entire thing. The Harakarmel, however, argues, and he says that if the item is a cheap item, why should 20% be be hefsim meruba? He says, Ein dover katzuv klal, hakol fi ra'os eine hamora ulfia eis, vazman ulfia adam, shehefsim shalo, im lagabe hu hefsim meruba, mikri hefsim meruba, ha'ashir lufia shro, va'ani lufia nyo, which is very mistaver, that you have to figure out, for this person is this a hefsim meruba. Rabbi Neuberger used to tell a story that when he first started in in his Rabbanus, he someone called that he didn't know about a shayla with kasher and kelim, whatever it was, a shayla about trefa dishes, and he was mekel because there was a hefsim ruba. The poskim say he could be mekel makom hefsim ruba, leaving out the details now. And he said another rav called him up and said hefsim ruba for some dishes for that family. They have two Mercedes parked in their driveway. Why is that a hefsim ruba for them? So he was very shaken by that. Ooh, maybe it's not a hefsim ruba. It happened to have been a hefsim ruba. It was a family heirloom, and it was very expensive dishes, and it felt like hefsim ruba. So it happened to have been that it was a case of hefsim ruba. But that's how the Har HaKarmel suggests. So again, it's hard to know. Maybe a good way to measure it would be when you're comparing a large purchase. Would you view that as a major difference? Like if the $150 difference between one couch and the other, are you even goris the difference? I'm spending thousands of dollars anyway. So at what point do you say that's a real difference in price? And maybe that would be a hefsim ruba. Circumstances determine if it's Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontif, and you're in a bind. That also determines hefsim ruba. Sorach gadol, shalom bayis. There are lots of things that go into play when it comes to hefsim ruba. That's the most fundamental discussion, whether it's this objective shusus or it's hakol fi ra'os enei amora. Okay, a little bit vaita gorfin mitachas. So we said you could be sweep out from under the animal. So tana rabban hazevel shabachatzer misalkan asal nistadin, that you sweep out the zevel and the chatzer to the sides of the chatzer shabachatzer motzi. But in a refis or in a chatzar, you could even bring it totally outside. Well, hagufa kasha, chatzar was on both lists. Amrit zevel shebechatzar, you only could misalkan osal studin. Vahadatani shebrefis for shebechatzar, motzin osal ashba. Then in a chatzar, you could take it out entirely. So rabbi, look kasha, kan babasar, kan bechalashamoid. On erev pesach, you could take it out entirely. On chalamoid, you're not allowed to do as much, you can only sweep it to the side. Rava amr hava habachalashamoid. No, it's all talking about chalamoid. Vachkamar, imnasa chatzar, kerefes. If your chatzar is so messy that there's no place to be mesalik l'tzadim, then even in a chatzar motzino sala ashba malich and kelim mavin beis ha'uman, you can bring kelim back and forth through beis ha'uman. So amra papa badiklan rava tried to test us tanan malich and mavin kelim beis ha'uman afal pishen l'tzorach hamoid, you can bring kelim back and forth through beis ha'uman even if it's not tzorach hamoid. Urim minhu, but I'll ask you a stira. They're not allowed to bring kelim from a beis u'man, but if you're afraid that they're going to be stolen, then put them in a chatzah that's nearby the beis u'man, but you're not allowed to bring them a long distance back to your house. So it turns out that there's a stira between the mishnayos whether you're allowed to bring kelim from a beis u'man all the way back home. So answer the gemara mishaninan. So Rav Papa said that we answered Rava lo kasha kan bar basar kan b'chol shel moed. On erev pesach you're allowed to bring it all the way back home. On chol moed you have to bring it. If you're afraid it's going to get stolen, you can even then only bring it to the close by chatzer. The ibay yisema, or another possible teretz, hava haba chal shemayin. It's all chal shemayin. V'lo kasha kan b'mamino kan b'sheina mamino. It's all a matter of how much you trust the uman. If you trust him, so leave it there. Don't bring it home. But if you don't trust him, then bring it home. V'atayim mivin kelim mibesu uman bein hakad mibes hakad kigon hakad mibes hakadar hakos mibes hazagag avolo tsemrim mibes hatzaba. That certain kelim you're allowed to bring him vesu uman, like a pot from a potter, a glass from a glacier, or is that what they call it? Whatever, a guy who makes glass. Avalot samar vesa tzaba, but not a dyer from the dye shop, meaning not wool from a dye shop. Lo kelim vesu uman, not kelim that are not litzor chamoid from vesu uman. Vimein lo mayochel nosen laskaru manichu atzlo. But if the uman doesn't have what to eat, so then make sure you pay him and leave it by him. Vimein lo mamino, but if you don't trust him, manichun vibayis hasamuchlo. Then leave it in a nearby house. If you're afraid it's going to be stolen, then bring it betzina into your own house. But you see, just like we see that the second teretz was correct, that the din is that whether you have to leave the kelim by the uman or not is tali on whether you trust him or not. So our second answer was the correct answer. So it says marna tirats the mevian. The second answer only discusses whether you can bring it home from the base of uman, but malich and kasha. But we still have a stira whether you're allowed to bring it to the Uman. The Ketani Ein Mavin V'Kolshkein Dein Malichin, because it says Ein Mavin and Kolshkein, you're not allowed to be Mavin to the Beis Uman. Whereas our Mishnah says you're allowed to even be Molich. So how do you answer that? You have to go with the first answer. We said that that there's a different, that the chiluk is not between Ma'amino or Eino Ma'amino. The chiluk is between Erev Pesach versus Chol HaMoed. That on Erev Pesach Malichin and Mavin, on Chol HaMoed you're not Malichin and you're not Mavin. So Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up at the Mishnah there. I'm not giving a shiur on Motzai Shabbos because there is a daf from last cycle, I believe, online. So just tomorrow we'll pick up from the Mishnah on the bottom.